Well, Father, I surely do thank you for tonight. I thank you, Father God, for the people who were hungry and thirsty and came out and sat at your table. I thank you, Father, that you are revealing to your church what's really going to be happening in the days ahead. And Father God, let us really be serious about our business with you, and let us be doing the things that you've truly called us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many of you know there's a whole lot of things coming down real soon that we're not going to be happy with? In the government especially. In the food. In the depression, recession, whatever you call it. How many of you know we're not going to be happy with all that? But if we can get ourselves joyed up right now, when those things come, yes, we might discuss them, but they're not going to kill us. We're going to be able to keep on going. So remember that. I was sitting back there Wednesday night, and, you know, I was listening to the prophetic words that were going forth. I always do that, and I make sure that there's nothing mixture going on. And I looked up front here, and God said, what you have here is bed bugs and cockroaches. I said to Chris, I said, God just said, what I have here is a bunch of bed bugs and cockroaches. I said, I wonder what he meant. So we're going to talk about bed bugs and cockroaches tonight, all right? It's in your house, it's in your church, it's in your workplace, it's everywhere. Go ahead, put it up there, Brad. All right, bed bugs. Bed bugs are a sign of witchcraft. And God's told me that witchcraft is operating in this church, all right? Bed bugs are well known as an ancient form of witchcraft attack. Bed bugs were present in Rome during the Roman times. Now, the bed bug's spiritual meaning is discontent or interference. We got a lot of discontent in the house of God, don't we? All right, the bed bug's spiritual meaning is discontent or interference with the balance of your personal life. These bed bugs are sent to you to destroy you through witchcraft. The bed bugs are a representation of the hostile forces being harnessed physically to cause you damage. Since bed bugs can also be considered as spiritual warriors, it would then follow that they also possess some kind of spiritual attack as well. But there's nothing good about bed bugs. There will be people in this world that attack you spiritually, emotionally, and financially. We must always remember that we can overcome anything. Bed bugs have been attached to spiritual warfare since Roman times and spiritually represent that a fight is needed in life. In other words, witchcraft is going to be thrown at you all the time, and you're going to have to be fighting for your life all the time through prayer, not fist fight. The Bible often speaks about spiritual warfare. If we look at the scripture in John 10:10, it talks about it. It details that we have enemies in this world who seek to destroy us. You don't sit here and be so cocky and sure of yourself. There's somebody out there wanting to destroy you. I don't care who you are. The devil wants to destroy you, and he will use any. It's the devil wants to destroy you, and he will use any vessel that's willing to be used to destroy you and attack you. And you would be totally surprised at how people unknowingly and knowingly allow these bed bugs, this witchcraft, to come against you just by the words they speak over you when they think you don't hear them. All right? If we think our fight is with those around us and that they have a war with us, we can become divided. All right, let's just say that I think that Aaron's throwing bed bugs at me, you know, witchcraft at me. I could want to cut him off of my life. And then, you know, then we would be divided. So that's not what God wants us to do. Often we end up with bitterness, and this predominantly affects our soul. Part of the spiritual warfare and attack is to try to forgive those around us. Remember, gossiping is evil in itself. Remember, the most important part of your job is to recognize the psychic attacks. Remember that bed bugs are a spiritual attack to cause discomfort in your life. Some people who hold grudges against another use these instincts to get revenge while watching their victims suffer from afar. In other words, when you hold something against somebody, you unknowingly send witchcraft or the bedbugs to them, and it causes them a lot of discomfort. And don't say they deserve it. Well, if they deserve it, then you deserve whatever you did too. All right? Bedbugs were also commonly found near or within a witch's circle, thus branded as carriers of dark energies or a sign of evil. And God told me that the witches were at work in this church. What's the male witches called? Warlocks. He said the warlocks are after you now, because the witches couldn't take me down. Now the warlocks are after me. See, God will always tell you what's going on in your life. So I know that I have to fight. I know I can never relax any at all. I know that I have a fight in my hands and I have to fight. And I know when the fight gets really severe, God lays me upon somebody's heart and they go into deep intercession for me. Sister Shirley did that this morning, she said. She said, "Are you okay?" See, God knows how much the witches are throwing at me and the warlocks. And so God told me one time, he said, "Daughter, your name is known all over the world." He said, "I have people all over the world praying for you by name." That goes for you too. It's just not me. Your name is known all over the world because God has said to somebody, "You pray for Deanna today. Hold her up in prayer because the enemy's after her." You see what I'm saying? God always has somebody praying for you. Always remember that. Always, always. All right, so last night, I just about had, I was at my wit's end. I was tired, like I said earlier. I called Brother Aaron. And I said, I just need a vent. I said, I want to go to certain people and I just want to slap them really hard, you know, because I just had enough of this witchcraft junk and I wanted it in. And after I was all through, I said, "Okay, I'll let you go. Now I just need somebody to vent to," before I actually went out and did something I shouldn't have done. Well, what I said to him, I was getting ready to become human and bop somebody in the nose. You know what I mean? You don't want to be spiritual. You want to become human really quick, and you want to just let people know what you feel about them. So he listened. He said, "I'm here." And then we hung up. I was over it. I didn't want to hit nobody anymore. You need a sounding board. You really do need a sounding board. And if you think you can go this thing alone, you're already dead. You're already dead because you can't. Okay, and where am I at? People attack you spiritually with witchcraft, which is a bed bug, because they do not have the power to damage and harm you physically. You know, the God said that the devil can do everything to us, but he can't kill us. And so this witchcraft is thrown at us, trying to discourage us and cause us to quit. They want to take revenge on you, your family, and your friends without staining their hands. When your family is in disunity, now listen to this, when your family is in disunity, lack of self-control, scarcity, and poverty, that is a sign that someone is using witchcraft or bedbugs against you. Are you listening here? And if you're trying to, if you're trying to fight something that's within and you can't get through it, it's because somebody's throwing witchcraft at you. The first thing you should do when they start to infest your house is the bed bugs, is, you know, the witchcraft, is to reflect on what could be the point of all this and single out the source of imbalance at your home or in your church. And I've been saying there's something going on in this church, and I know that Jezebel has dominance in this church, and not in a person, but it's in the atmosphere. And so we're seeking God's face, trying to find out what the imbalance is that gives this spirit the right to stay here. All right? All right, what can I do about the spiritual attack? Number one, build a shield of the blood of Jesus around yourself and your property. Number two, pray for the removal of the attachments of your attacker. If you know who the attacker is, cut the soul ties. Number three, cut the cords with the person that is bringing attack upon you. You know, if they continue after you've done everything else, and you just need to separate yourself. You just need to move away from them. And number four, remove dark entities that you perceive are around you at the moment. You know, sometimes you just have to tell loved ones, I'm sorry, you're just going to have to go. Take your bed bugs and go. Remember that bed bugs are a spiritual attack to cause discomfort in your life. Sometimes a psychic attack could come from people you know, or alternatively, a group of people, which we know there's just a group of witches that live right down the road here who meet every Wednesday night to pray against this church. Every Wednesday night. And we were told by somebody who knows all about it that that's what they do. So that's a group of people. This can cause immense psychic damage and interfere with the balance in your life. Bed bugs could be a representation of how this attack is harnessing you physically. Remember to focus on God's love when facing such an attack. How many of you know that you know when you're being spiritually attacked? You know that. And the first thing you need to do, that's why I called Brother Aaron, because I didn't even want to stay in love. I just want to go and bop them in the nose, smack their head up against the wall. And I'm being honest, because they have been harassing me and harassing me and harassing me. And I'm tired of it. They've been judging me. You know, and I know God said he's going to vindicate me. But last night, yesterday, or whenever it was, I would just had enough. How many of you every now and then you just have enough? You're just sick and tired of what the devil's doing. And even though God's told you, he's going to vindicate you and you know all that, there's something about this ugly flesh that wants to bypass what God said and just go and do your own thing, right? I mean, let's be honest. And then we have to repent, right? Get back in a love walk and, and then go and apologize to people and all that kind of stuff. Why do we do that? So we stay in the love walk and we're securing our place in heaven. All right, I said, remember to focus on God's love when facing such an attack. While studying about the bed bugs, I could not find one place where they were good. And I did a lot of reading about the bed bugs, spiritual bed bugs, all right? So that's the bed bugs. So y'all know about bed bugs, right? It's witchcraft. And if your life is just being turned upside down all the time, somebody is throwing witchcraft at you. You know, somebody could just be talking about you. And that's witchcraft they're throwing at you. Somebody in their own little pea mind can think you're not of God, and they go around telling everybody, who do they think they are? They're not even of God. They're destroying people, not saving people. That's witchcraft they're throwing at you. And, and they are just, and if you keep the door, if you crack the door at all, they're going to come in and destroy you. In that song, they said that, God opens doors that no man can close. And that's one thing that God's always said to me, daughter, I've opened a door for you that no man can close. No man can touch you. He can harass me, though, but he really can't, really destroy me like he would like to. Now, let's talk about the cockroaches. We'll talk about spiritual cockroaches first, all right? What does a cockroach symbolize? Resilience and survival. This is a good part of them. In case you didn't know, decapitated cockroaches can last for weeks. I didn't know that. These tiny, tenacious creatures can go up to a month or more without food. This is what we're supposed to be like, a cockroach here, all right? This animal inspires you to find ways to adapt and cope in an unpleasant situation. Cockroaches can sneak into a place through the smallest openings, and so they bring the message that you should utilize every opportunity life offers you. That's their message to you, the spiritual message. Use everything that God sends you way to help you better your walk with God. Be tenacious like they are. We used to know a couple, and I used to go minister to them, and because they were sort of messed up. And you go in their house, you sit there, the cockroach would fall off the ceiling, crawl up your pant leg, run across the kitchen table. And so finally, we just put out money to clear their trailer of cockroaches. And they were so infested, the guys. I've never seen such an infestation of cockroaches. So that's the only experience I've had with cockroaches. I've never had them in my home. But they are tenacious little things. And you don't scare them. They just ran all over us and just made themselves at home at the table. We made sure we never rolled our pant legs up, never carried our purses in there, and went outside and shook ourselves really well. They told us to do that too, you know. But anyhow, that's the cockroaches are there to stay unless you remove them. All right, cockroaches can sneak into a place through the smallest openings, and so they bring the message that you should utilize every opportunity life offers you. In many spiritual traditions, a cockroach is seen as a symbol of transformation and regeneration. Cockroach spirit animal teaches you to survive and never to give up, to be flexible and readily adaptable in any situations life presents itself with is one of the greatest traits. To be flexible and readily adaptable. We are not flexible and we're not readily adaptable. And we need to be. In any situation, doesn't matter what life throws your way. All right, community. Cockroaches symbolize healthy friendships and communities. That was hard for me to swallow, but that's what it said. That was a good point to the cockroach. Let's take a look at the dark side. Darkness and renewal. Cockroaches are undisputedly one of the most hated insects on earth. Imagine coming into the kitchen for a midnight snack. You flip the light on, and when you hear the unmistakable scurrying of a cockroach across the kitchen floor, it is what you have always dreaded. Living in the garbage, it runs from the daylight and emerges only at night. I just remember one time I went to visit my sister in Virginia, and she put us in the room with the baby, and she said, there's cockroaches in the baby's crib. They saw they're all over the room. They won't bother you. Just go to sleep. They won't bother you. We sit up all night. No way was I going to go to sleep. Those cockroaches. I said to her the next day, I said, how do you get any sleep? She said, they don't bother us any. Well, anyhow, let's not be that kind of a cockroach. I don't know where I'm at. However, our case, all right, they live in the garbage, and it runs from daylight and emerges only at night in the dark. However, something a million times worse could be living with you. A cockroach can't really hurt you much. This other creature can lead you to destruction and death forever. It also runs from the light and loves the darkness, and it lives in a world of garbage. It not only looks like it's from a horror movie, it is horror itself. Undetected and untreated, it is your worst nightmare. Cockroaches are an ice cream sundae compared to these creatures. These creatures are demons or evil spirits. All right? Cockroaches are prolific breeders. One cockroach can spawn several thousand offspring in a year. As bad as that is, a demon undetected and untreated or driven off can lead to a demonic infestation and cause immeasurable and everlasting harm to you and your family. That's why you need to go through deliverance. God didn't create the devil and his demons. God created angels and archangels with free will. The devil was initially a beautiful, powerful angel called Morningstar or Lucifer. You find that in Isaiah chapter 14. His pride caused him to lead a rebellion of a third of the angels against God, and war broke out in heaven. See, some of you looked funny whenever I said God didn't create the devil and his demons. He didn't. He created a beautiful creature, a beautiful angel. And all the ones that fell with him were all beautiful angels. All right, they went to war in heaven. They lost that war and were hurled down to our earth where they roam to this day. They are up close and personal, these demons are, and living in your neighborhood and maybe in your home or worse, in you. And like cockroaches, you'll never see them until you let the light shine in the darkness. Cockroaches are attracted to uncleanliness and food crumbs, among other things. Demons are attracted to unrighteousness and sin. And if you don't clean your kitchen, the cockroaches are going to move in. Remember years ago, somebody was teaching about the attic and, you know, the living room and the dining room and cleansing all these rooms. Well, they're going to come into your kitchen if you don't get rid of them. If you don't clean up your life, demons are likely to consider you their best friend. and breed and multiply and bring you all kinds of hell. If you ever went through a deliverance, you know that there's different compartments inside of you. And each one of these compartments are headed up by a different demon. But then he has all his little cohorts there with him. And every compartment has a Jezebel. So you say, well, that the Jezebel was taken out. Only one. So how many compartments do you have in there that have the Jezebel in them? Because they all do. All right, demons ignored either out of ignorance or unbelief and left untreated will attempt to exert more and more influence and control over your life. This idea going out there that Christians can't have demons is the biggest lie in the world. Well, one of the biggest lies. There's more Christians that have demons than you can shake a stick at. If you don't believe they exist, that is just the darkness and cover they love to operate in, you know, the demons. Your enemy isn't your husband, your wife, or your boss. Your enemy is a devil and his demonic hordes. In studying this, I ran across this story. This young man said, some years back, I had a spirit of lust, and I was really ignorant about their existence and how they operate. As hard as I tried to kick it, I never really got victory over it. I would grit my teeth and hold it off for a while, but then I would fall. This went on for some time. It was more powerful than I was. I could not get rid of it with my own willpower. But then I had an encounter with Jesus Christ. As the blazing light of Christ entered my soul and I experienced a tremendous love of Jesus, that lustful demon fled like a cockroach when commanded away. Remember, that's why you can't get rid of your sin nature. You have not yet had an encounter with Jesus, a true encounter with Jesus. And therefore, them demons don't have to leave. You need to be spending more time in the presence of God, having an encounter with Jesus, than doing all the dumb stuff you do just to take up your time. How many of you know that when the devil's really after you and he's trying to kill you, that the only way you're going to be safe is if you get on your face before Jesus and cry out to him, have an encounter with him, and tell him of all the things he's promised you, then stand on that promise. The devil has to leave. He can't stay. All right. Then he said, it has been 27 years now of continuous unbroken victory over that demon. And then he says, thank you, Jesus. That's his story. Demons are not to be feared in any way. They run in, just like we don't fear cockroaches, we just like to get rid of them, right? They run and hide in the shadows and darkness when confronted with the power and the light of the Holy Spirit. And 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, be sober and vigilant. Your opponent, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him steadfast in faith. And if you're really close to God and you're hearing God's voice and you're going through some terrible times, God will quote that scripture to you every time. That the devil's been looking for somebody and he's hoping that you're the person that he can land on to destroy. And if you don't have an encounter with Jesus, he will land on you and he will work really hard at destroying you. Colossians 2:15, thus did God disarm the principalities and the powers. He made a public spectacle of them, leading them off captive, triumphed in the person of Christ. Jesus already defeated these demons. We have to believe this. We don't believe most of what we talk about. We don't believe what we sing about. And, you know, as we listen to these singers who are leading the praise and worship, we look at them and they're so anointed, but they fight just like you and I do. God said they fight harder than you and I do because they're up there leading people to the goodness of God. You know, people would love to see a praise and worship leader fall. They'd love to see a minister fall. And so we have to fight. And fight we do. And when we know we're getting weak, just like one of the praise and worship leaders said in a statement, he said he called out for help because he knew he was drowning. And when he called out for help, he found out he had a whole lot of help. He had a whole lot of people who loved him and were there to nourish him and bring him forth. Or the demons are like a roaring lion, but Jesus has defanged them for the Christian. Satan and all his demons and all his principalities and powers have been disarmed, made captive, triumphed over, and a public show made of them through Jesus. Demons are not to be feared, but we can't ignore them either. They do not leave you until you command them away in the name of Jesus. Matthew 10:7-8 says, and Jesus said, and as you go, not as you're sitting in your seat, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, freely you have received, freely give. Anybody that's going through deliverance, you should be so excited to get somebody else in for a deliverance. Because, you know, you might not be totally set free, but you are free to the extent where you can operate some in your own capacity, right? If you have been addicted to anything that was initiated from simple behavior for any length of time, there is a good probability of a demon or demons hanging around you or in you. You know, once you're delivered from something, that demon doesn't leave. He stays there and follows you everywhere you go. And he's hoping he can find a door to come back in. You know, the Bible says that, you know, the demon left, but then it came back and found the house swept and clean. But you weren't guarding that house. And it came right back in again. So you're blaming the deliverance ministry because you're not set free. But in reality, it's you that holds the responsibility to keep yourself free. And when the devil comes back, the one that left, you say, nope, that door's closed. In fact, I took the doorknob off and I threw away the key. Door cannot be open. You're not coming back in again. Then you have to stand your ground. You just can't say that. You have to stand your ground. I've been through these battles with the devil, and he does not give up easily. He just is hoping and praying he can wear you down. That's when you need somebody that you can trust and you can go to and say, I'm human and I need help. The devil's after me and I'm weak right now and I need somebody to build me up. All right. All right. Where am I at? In these situations, we need to repent of the sin and command those demons away from us. We may still need rehab, counseling, and lifestyle changes, but without repentance and deliverance from demons, all the rehab and counseling in the world won't work. You know, we worked with people and, you know, and they don't stay free because they don't go to church. They don't serve Jesus. So they stay bound. Then they say to us, well, where is your God? Well, my God is right here. It's you that's not doing your part. And the devil doesn't have to stay away because you invite him in all the time. Come on. It's like mowing the top of weeds. The roots demons are still there and they must be dug out. Irrational fears, continual anxieties or worries can be demonic in nature also. Jesus commands us not to worry and offers us the peace that passes understanding. Fear is the opposite of faith, and when these fears knock at our door, answer with faith in Jesus and command them away. I was told that when I first got born again, and that really does work. You know, it doesn't matter what the demons making things look like around about you. If God said it's different, then it's different. And you don't accept what that demon's shown you, you accept what Jesus has told you. And don't open the door. All right, fear knocks, faith answered, and there's no one there. Fear knocked, faith answers, and there's no one there. And the devil flees, and then we are free of the cockroaches. Amen. So you have good and bad cockroaches. But you have bed bugs are all bad, totally and completely bad. Where are you in your walk with God? Are you truly wanting to be set free to the point that you'll do whatever it takes to be set free? When I was helping with the deliverances, people would say, I'll do whatever it takes to be set free. And they did. And they were free. People would even move. We had a lot of military people come then, and they would move out of Delaware, and they would call us and say, I'm still free today. And that is what we need to hear, always a good report. But nowadays, people get a deliverance, and the next thing you know, well, these you didn't get them, they're still here. Well, you didn't do your part. You didn't read your word. You didn't stay in the presence of Jesus, and you didn't fight. And God told me years ago, he said, you're going to have to fight more than you ever fought in your life, because the biggest demons in hell have been loosed upon the church. And they're bringing every weapon that they have after you. He says, it's going to be a fight like you've never had before. So we've been fighting like we never have before. But how many people are retaining their freedom is the problem. People aren't. And then they say, well, they're false deliverance ministry. They all kind of junk. And I was reading again last night where God said that if people want to hear a certain thing, he'll send a lying spirit so they can hear. All right, somebody wants to believe that I'm a cult leader. And God's always going to send people telling them that I am a cult leader, because that's what they want to hear. I was reading a book last night, and they said, God will do that. God will just send a lying spirit and let them believe whatever they want to believe. But God will vindicate you. So we don't fight them like I wanted to do the other night when I was human. We don't fight them. We just give them back to God, and then we just move on and let God vindicate us. If he never vindicates us on this earth, it doesn't matter, does it? Are we here to be vindicated, or are we here to win souls? I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I never have. And this episode has bothered me, but I'm working my way through it. But it does nothing but destroy you if you meditate on it. You know, and then they become the winner, and you become the loser. So why do we do that? I'm just really speaking to each of your hearts tonight. Don't let what somebody else is saying about you destroy you. You know, and I guess God had me go through this so I could say to you, it's not easy, but we have to do it. We have to stay the course. We have to let the devil see you can't get me, no matter what you throw at me or who you use. And, you know, sometimes they say, well, look what I did for that person. Really now? I've said that. Really now? Look what Jesus did to that person. You were just a vessel dummy that he worked through. Why are you throwing that out? Well, look what I did. Look at all the time I spent with them. That doesn't matter. Look at all the time Jesus spends with us. Are you understanding this? See, we have to get us totally out of the picture and put Jesus in the picture. And then as we can walk in surety of heart that God is in total and complete control, victories are won. Souls are won. And we are set free. I always think about Paul and Silas. People love Paul and Silas, but they were always in jail, writing letters to the churches to encourage them to go on. And Paul got mad at some of the churches, and he wrote them some little nasty letters. Read it in your word. He wasn't always nice to them. But yet we want the pastor to be nicey, nicey, nicey all the time. You can't be that way. Ever since I started, they said, everybody loves you, but you preach too hard of a message. You would have the biggest church in Delaware if you quit preaching repentance. Then I'd have to stand before God, and your blood would be on my hand, and I'd go to hell, and I'm sorry, I'm not going to hell for anybody. I have enough time trying to keep myself out of hell with my own self without you guys. You know what I'm saying? Each one of you have to work out your own salvation. Come on, guys. I think this, God, whenever he said you have bed bugs and cockroaches. So this is a mixture in this church. And so I went home and I got to looking up on it. And it wasn't very much defined, but it was enough for me to understand that we are under a witchcraft attack. And we can either be the spiritual cockroaches, or we can be the demonic cockroaches. You see? So what are you going to do? You're still a child of God, I hope. And Father God, I just thank you right now. I don't know what you want to do with this message, Father, but I know you keep telling me righteousness. So I know, Father God, you're telling us, hey, look, I'm still with you no matter what the bed bugs are throwing at you. And children, I'm still with you. No matter what cockroach you're looking at, I want you to know that my church is defiled by unclean things. And I need you to step up to the plate and be a vessel I can use to clean up my church. I am not asking you to do something you cannot do. If I called you, I already equipped you. You already have all of heaven at your disposal, and you can do the perfect works that I've called you forth to do. And I'm asking you right now to raise your eyes to heaven. Receive me in all my fullness, and please don't turn around and look backward. Don't become Lot's wife and turn into a pillar of salt. Absolutely no use for my kingdom. But go forward, and I will adjust your footsteps. I will. In other words, if the enemy comes on too strong, I'll slow you down and I'll hold you in my arms until he passes by. And you can then go on with your race. I love each one of you. I truly have written my name on your foreheads before I ever brought you into this world. Your name is written down in glory, and the enemy is jealous of you because he knows he can never be there again, and he doesn't want you to be there either. So will you please allow me to adjust you this night, so that you will stand in my presence 100%, and the enemy will no longer have any place within you. The enemy has tried many times and has succeeded in pulling the rug out from underneath your feet. But I've always come alongside, and I've placed you back up on your feet again and encourage you to go forth and keep winning battle after battle. It is marching order time, and I'm going to give each one of you your marching orders even this night. And I want you to go forth and dispel the darkness that lies all around about you. No matter what comes your way, what the storm is, you will dispel the darkness. You are my beloved ones, and I so love you, and I'm so pleased with you. You're just a scraggly crew, but that's what I can use. I can use the honest in heart, and I can use those who are fighting and not winning the victory, but not giving up either. So stand tall and stand firm. And know that I am with you, and we are going to do great and mighty exploits together, you and I. Thank you. You know, this morning when the glory came and the angels were here, God spoke to a few people and gave them instruction for their life. God shows other people different things. And God's starting a movement this morning that he's not going to stop. He just doesn't want to speak to one or two. He wants to speak to each and every person in this room. He wants each and every one of us to have a vision. He wants to take each and every one of us over from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet. And then we'll never be the same ever again. And we will be true vessels of honor that God can work through. God say no more skateboarding. Total work. Total work for the kingdom of light. Set all your play toys aside and enter into my fullness and allow me to bring you from victory to victory to victory. It's up to each one of us in here tonight. Are we going to allow God to move us forward? Or are we going to allow the bed bugs to suffocate us? The altar's open.